All right, take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, we're in the middle of this message. Remember, we've been walking through worth fighting for. I want to welcome 1031 to our services. Worth fighting for. Worth fighting for. A biblical view of marriage. A biblical view of marriage. Now, we started out talking about how we are completed in Jesus, not our spouse. So we're completed by Jesus and not our spouse, according to Colossians 2:10. And so now, we the last 2 weeks, we husbands had to go through the fire. Can I get a witness?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So now, ladies, no, listen, guys. I want to say this up front to all of the ladies in this room, wives, wives-to-be, little girls, because I really want you to hear this. I want my daughter in the next service, she'll be sitting here. I've tried to teach this and model this. In no way is this to put more pressure on you. Because if you were to be honest with you, every wife and lady in here, especially wives, you probably put more pressure on you yourself than your husband does you. And you feel like you can't meet those expectations. And some of you, I know because I've received some emails, have said to me, oh man, I'm dreading. My wife didn't want to come this morning. Well, can I just say this? This message is not to put more work on you. This message is hopefully, prayerfully, to relieve you of some burdens. Because what we're going to do, I promise you this, Pastor Chad, I'm not going to give you my opinion. I want to give you just straight from God's word what God requires of you as a wife. Because, hear me, let me tell you some emphatic truths that I know. I'm not a woman. I never will be a wife. I'm not a wife. I've been I'm a man. I've been a son. I am a son. I've been a husband. I am a husband. I'm a daddy. So I can't preach as one of you. But I can preach to you from the Word of God. And so that's what I'm praying that you will hear this morning is God's Word, okay? So Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Please stand in honor of reading God's Word. Colossians 3, verse 18. One verse. And it's very, very straightforward. Listen to what it says. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Heavenly Father, please speak mightily in these next few minutes. God, I'm so thankful that because it is finished, God, I can preach from, not for victory, but from victory. God, because you're alive, we can stand and preach the crucified, yes, but resurrected Son of God. God, I'm thankful today that this message has the power to change lives because it is your word. It is your message. And God, I pray that, as Paul said, the gospel would run to those this morning who need to hear it. God, I pray for every marriage in here. God, you've been healing marriages. God, there's been people who are on the brink of divorce that, God, they have put it off because they're going to seek you. And they're going to, God, that's victory. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Do more today, Lord Jesus. May we get out of the way so you can work in your wonderful, precious, saving name. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody said this, marriage is easy. It's the living together afterward that's tough. Marriage is easy. It's the living together afterwards that's tough. Remember, we've been learning about this. And I want you to, God desires for your family and my family to reflect His glory. So that's what we learned from week number one. God's desire for you and for me is for that my family would reflect His glory. Hey, it's really not rocket science. When you read Colossians 3, 18 through 21, just watch the way God lays this out through Paul. When Paul was writing this, he said, wives, I want you to submit. Husbands, I want you to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, I want you to obey. And then all of us are to submit unto the Lord. And so really, that's it. I mean, if you were to read God's word and come to Colossians chapter 3, we would see exactly what God wants for our marriage. And God wants for our life. And so today, I'm using that dreaded S word, the word submit. But I want to define it for you from the Bible. Now, don't miss this. The wife who willingly submits to her husband's leadership honors her husband and glorifies God. The wife who willingly submits to her husband's leadership honors her husband and glorifies God. Now, I'm well aware that no one in the family labors under higher expectations than a wife does. I told you, first, we've got many of you in here. You put more expectations upon yourself than anybody else. You were frustrated because you can't accomplish every day what you need to get accomplished. Ladies, think about this. You're a mom, a wife, football, t-ball, cheerleader, soccer taxi, math, science, reading tutor, church volunteer, money manager, neighborhood volunteer, house cleaner, cook. And if that is not a full-time job in and of itself, many of you, maybe most of you in here, have a full-time job on top of that. How many of you wives in here right now, at this very moment, entered into a marriage with a set of expectations that never happened? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. Next week, I'm talking about forgiveness, just FYI, okay? I mean, honestly, many of you said, I married Prince Charming, and you woke up next to Shrek. Is that... Every potential wife and every wife, I got some great news for you. This message is not going to add more pressure on any of you. I want to show you that God really only has one expectation. Are you ready for it? One expectation. Here it is. That is that you glorify Him by fulfilling your God-given role. Glorify God by fulfilling your God-given role. Remember, I didn't ask to be born a man. I had no say-so in that. But God saw fit that I was born a man, so therefore I've got a God-given role in my life. I am to cherish Lenora. I'm to cherish my wife by loving her with a spiritual, sacrificial, sensitive love. What are you to do? You're to glorify Him by fulfilling your God-given role. The better news is, and this is what we're going to talk about, the better news is you basically have only two primary responsibilities in your marriage. And that is to respect your husband's leadership and honor him by your love. Respect your husband's leadership and honor him by your love. How you look at your husband will determine how you will live with your husband. Let me say that again. How you look at your husband will determine how you live with your husband. Respecting your husband and submitting to his leadership begins with how you look at him. So I wrote down two important questions. Listen to these questions. Do you look at your husband in his God-given position as the leader of your family, as someone that you will respect and follow regardless of his faults? Or number two, do you look at your husband and say you will only respect him and follow him when you think he deserves it or when he meets certain conditions? Listen, guys, God doesn't mince words. And I will send these notes to anybody out there who wants them, okay? They're yours to have. God doesn't mince any words. He expects honor and respect. Honor and respect. So wives and ladies, if we're going to have a marriage worth fighting for, how do we do that? Remember, only two responsibilities. Number one, respect your husband's leadership. Respect your husband's leadership. Pastor, how do I respect his leadership? All right, you ready? You got to help him. Guys, we need help. Would you agree with that? All right, so if I'm going to help Lenora, if I'm going to help my wife 15 years this December, if we want to get to 70 years, like my awesome couple right now, if we want to get to 50 years, like a gentleman came up to me today in my office and he said, I just want you to know, 50 years, coming this Thanksgiving, but we celebrated it this, hey, you see what I'm saying? They celebrated this past Saturday, 50 years, but it's not until Thanksgiving. That's having faith. Can I get a witness? But don't you listen. How can I go ahead? This is good. How can I go ahead and celebrate 50 years when we're only celebrating 15 this December? I've got to help her respect my leadership. So I have to enable her. So how do you do that? We need help. So you enable our leadership. You enable his leadership. Verse 18 again. Listen, Colossians 3:18. We're just going to break that verse down. Wives. So guys, who is he talking to? Every man, who is he talking to? Okay, so let's be quiet. Listen. Wives, submit to your own husband. Submit. What does that word mean? It means to place under. To subject oneself under the authority of someone else. Contrary to what popular opinion says, this is not a social issue. It's not a philosophical issue. It is not an intellectual issue. The submitting part that God is getting to, listen, it's a spiritual issue. Don't miss that. Ladies, listen, the gospel has done more to liberate women than anything, any other movement. And so I want you to listen to me, dear friends. Don't dare take what the world says. You take what God says, and the Word says, wives, submit. So you can't have it both ways. You can't expect the husband to love the wife and the children to obey the parents if you are not willing to respect your husband by submitting to his leadership. So let me go ahead and anticipate some objections that are right now. In no way, shape, form, or fashion does this state or infer that the woman is inferior to the man. That's not what Paul is talking about. Just because someone is under the authority of someone else does not imply that that person is inferior. Matter of fact, listen to 1 Corinthians 11:3. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 11:3, listen to this. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of woman is man. But Paul didn't stop there. Listen to what he says. And the head of Christ is God. Now, if you know any theology whatsoever in your Bible, you know that Jesus is both co-eternal and co-equal with God the Father. Okay? Jesus is co-eternal and co-equal with God the Father. But over and over and over again in the Word of God, we find where Jesus willingly submitted himself to the authority of his heavenly Father. Matter of fact, are y'all listening? Don't miss this, okay? The only hope that I have of heaven, that you have of heaven, is because that in the Garden of Gethsemane that we read about last week, Jesus humbly submitted himself to the Father's will and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's the only way, the only hope we have of heaven is because Jesus, listen to this, who was co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father, willingly submitted himself to the Father's plan. So, husbands, this is not something that you can force on your wife. This is not something that you can force on your wife. In the Greek language, that word submit there literally means, it literally says submit yourself. In other words, there's a big difference between obedience and submission. Children have to obey their parents and they should be disciplined if they don't. But wives should not and cannot be forced to submit to their husbands and they shouldn't be disciplined if they refuse. Husbands, did you hear that? They shouldn't be disciplined if they refuse. I also want to say that this submission that Paul is talking about is not absolute. No wife should ever submit to their husband if that husband asks the wife to do something that is either unethical, ungodly, or unchristian. And I pray that's not happening in this church. I pray that's not happening in this church. Please hear me, guys. You say, wives, so how do I do that? Listen, John Piper said this. John Piper said, whenever you're in a situation like that, you ought to speak up to your husband in a loving, respectful way and let him know you really want to submit to his authority because you know that's what God calls upon your life. But, because they're asking you to do something that is against what the Bible says, you cannot. And the Holy Spirit of God, if you're living your life the way God wants you to be, filled with the Spirit of God, he will help you in those moments. He will help you in those moments. So the point is, If the husband is to fulfill his God-given role as the leader of the home, the wife must enable his leadership by voluntarily submitting to his authority. So this is good, godly, biblical advice right here. If you're a single lady out there, or if you're divorced and you're going to be remarried, this is a question that you ought to ask yourself about the man that you're dating or that you want to date. Are you ready? Am I willing to submit to his spiritual leadership? Oh, that is so good. In the back, please don't miss that. 10:31. You say, oh, remember, some of you are infatuated with someone instead of in love with them, and that'll wear off in 18 months. Hey, everybody has morning breath. I will not say that next service when Lenora's in here, okay? So do not repeat that, okay? I can hear her now. Did you really say that? So listen. Ladies, am I willing to submit to this man's spiritual leadership? And some of you may be thinking right now, some of you ladies may be thinking, oh, but you're playing right into my husband's hands. I mean, all I'm going to hear about from him is I ought to submit. And if I submit to my husband, I'm just going to be giving in what he wants. I wrote this as carefully as I could. I don't think it'll be on the screen, but I want you to listen to this because your submission is not about what he wants. It's about what God wants. Do you remember way back then when we started this series? Am I willing to drop my expectations for my wife and focus on my expectations for what God wants from my life? Remember, I am to be fulfilled by God. And so, ladies, your submission to your husbands is not about what he wants. It's about what God wants. And when you give your husband the respect that God wants you to give him, and when you submit to his leadership, you bring glory to God, and God promises to bless your submission. That is so true. So you enable his leadership. You got to help him out. Number two, you encourage his leadership. Remember, wives, here we go back to verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. As is fitting to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? The word fitting there literally means what is proper or what is right. So, ladies, come on now. Here we go. If you want to maximize your relationship with your husband, and if you want to put yourself in the best position to always, and this is what every wife in this room and every lady that wants to be a wife in this room, here's what you ought to want. You ought to always want to bring glory to God by you being a godly wife. Remember, I've got to look past Lenora. I got to look past Lenora and understand that I am to love her as Christ loved the church, and we learned about what he did for us last week. Ladies, if you could look past the stubbornness of your husband, I don't mean that being funny, but if you could just look past his faults and understand the God-given responsibility and call on your life, what God expects from you. Here's what I want you to do. Last week, remember, we said, all right, in every situation, man, husband, in every situation, I am to ask, what is the loving thing to do? Remember that? Were y'all reminded that this week by any chance? Ladies, what am I to do? What are you to do? Here we go. Here's the major question. You're about to blow your top. I mean, he has pushed you to the limit. He is getting on your everlasting last nerve. You ready? Ready? What is the respectful thing to do? Remember. Oh, don't miss this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting. To the Lord. What is the respectful thing to do? Notice that you're to respect your husband not because of what he does or how he performs, but or how he acts, but because of who God is and what God says. Isn't that something? Now, watch this, watch this. That means you're to follow His leadership even when you don't see eye to eye. You're to follow His leadership even when you don't see the situation turning out like you think it should. You're to follow His leadership even when you are convinced another course would be better. You're to follow His leadership even if He has made mistakes in the past. Because it's fitting to the Lord. Listen to Ephesians 5:22-24. Listen to this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. You know why we should do that? You know why we should do that? Listen. Your respect for your husband and your submission to him is not based on his personality. Your respect and leadership and honor to him is not based on his performance. It's based on his position. I didn't say that the husbands are the head of the home. The Bible says, can everybody hear me? The Bible says the husband is the head of the home. There's a saying in the military, you don't salute the uniform, you salute the uniform, not the person in the uniform. Tony Evans said this, listen to this, Tony Evans said this. To put it another way, wives, honor your husband's position of his headship. A wife may say, but I don't like my husband right now. You don't have to like him to honor the position God has put him in. A lot of people don't like their bosses, but they honor their boss's position. God calls a wife to honor her husband, whether she agrees with him all the time or not. Sarah, in the Bible, is a model of this honor because she called Abraham Lord in 1 Peter 3, verse 6. And what did Sarah get? She got a miracle, a baby when she was 90 years old. And I know some of you sitting there going, I ain't calling my husband Lord. I'm through with that. All right, but listen to this. Listen. Listen. God miraculously intervened in Sarah's life and gave her Isaac, a miracle child. Listen to this. Peter says that when a woman operates this way, it is precious in the sight of God. Don't miss this. Some Christian wives need to repent of their rebellious attitudes toward their husband's authority. If a wife wants God to change her husband, she needs to honor his position. That gets her out of the way so God can deal with the man. You see, do you think maybe you're in the way of God dealing with him because you're not honoring him? Have you ever thought about that? Ladies, have you ever thought about the fact that if you would just, listen to me, if you would just do what God commands you, then maybe God would deal with the man. Students, any single people in this room, I want you to listen, your pastor, please listen. There's no such thing if you are dating, there's no such thing as submission for you. Don't miss that. If you are dating, there's no such thing as submission to you for that other person. No boyfriend has any authority over any girlfriend. Before you say I do, you can say I won't. But after you say I do, something changes. Not his personality, not his performance, but his position changes. He is now the husband of you, and he is the head of that family. And it changes. It's very serious when you enter into a holy matrimony. Tony Evans goes on to say this. Listen to this. A wife should defer to her husband's authority. The idea is that it is proper and becoming for a wife to conduct herself this way. Because that is what God asked of her, and that is what exalts Christ in her life and in the home. A wife who separates her relationship with her husband from her relationship with Christ will not relate to her husband properly. So you will not. If you separate it, she will resist and rebel against his God-given authority and thus separate herself from God's hand on her life. Wives, I want you to think about this. If you refuse to respect your husband and honor him by submitting to his authority, here's what you're doing. Listen to this. You're not only going to have problems with God, you're going to have problems with your children. If you teach your children by example to rebel against authority, do you know what they are going to do? They're going to rebel against authority. God knows what he's doing. When the husband loves the wife the way he ought to love his wife, and when he shows children how to treat people who are under their authority, and when the wife lovingly submits to her husband that is fitting to the Lord, she teaches her children how to submit to people who are over them. That is a great lesson to teach our kids. Over and under teaching them. You got to ask the question, why do I want to marry this man, and am I willing to submit to his authority? Why do I want to marry this man? So you need to ask that. Someone said that if you show me a man who comes home greeted by a smile, encouraged to take his shoes off, sit on a pillow arranged on the floor for him, and served a delicious meal, I'll show you a man who lives in a Japanese restaurant. Number one, listen, number one, respect your husband's leadership. Number two, and we're done. Listen, number two, very simple. Remember, guys, I'm to cherish my wife. Ladies, you're to respect his leadership, and then you're to honor him with his, by your love. Respect and honor. I'm to honor him. You're to honor him with your love. And so here's what I wrote down in my notes. I mean, this is so personal. From my heart. How do you, and I'm a husband, so some of these are personal for me. And I've told Lenora this. This is ways that I find in the Bible that she can honor me. You ready? Number one, as a man. As a man. She can honor me as a man. Did y'all know that men are 3 times more likely to suffer low self-esteem than women? And 5 times more likely to suffer from depression? Dr. Emerson Edgerts tells a story in his book, Love and Respect, which is an incredible one. I think one of the best marriage books out there. Dr. E.V. Hill was a great black preacher. He's unbelievable. Listen to this. He was a dynamic minister who served as a senior pastor of Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, and he had lost his wife, Jane, to cancer. At her funeral, Dr. Hill described some of the ways that she made him be a better man. As a struggling young preacher, E.V. had trouble earning a living. E.V. came home one night and found the house dark. When he opened the door, he saw that Jane had prepared a candlelight dinner for two. He thought that was a great idea, and he went into the bathroom to wash his hands. He tried unsuccessfully to turn on the light. Then he felt his way into the bedroom and flipped on another switch. Darkness prevailed. The young pastor went back to the dining room and asked Jane why the electricity was off. She began to cry. "You work so hard. And we're trying," said Jane, "but it's pretty rough. I didn't have enough money to pay the light bill, and I didn't want you to know about it, so I thought we would just eat by candlelight." Dr. Hill described his wife's words with intense emotion. She could have said, "I've never been in this situation before. I was reared in the home of Dr. Carruthers, and we never had our lights cut off." She could have broken my spirit. She could have ruined me. She could have demoralized me. But instead, she said, "Some way, somehow, we'll get these lights back on. But tonight, let's eat by candlelight." Honor him as a man. Number two, honor him as the man. Are y'all, honor him as the man. In Proverbs 31, 10 through 22, we find an incredible description of a virtuous woman. But in verse 33, she says something along the line. She says, and her husband, honor, he's sitting at the gate, he's sitting in his place amongst the elders, and he's bragging on, she's not the old lady. She's his cherished wife that he loves, because she's honoring him as the man. the man. She's being praised by him. Number three, honor him as a man. Honor him as the man. Honor him as your man. Your man. Hey, you are his cheerleader. You're his cheerleader in front of his friends. Girls' night out or husband bash night? You laugh, but I'm telling you, I've counseled a many people who that's what it is. That's what it turns out to be. The problem is that you're looking with a log in your eye at the speck in your husband's. Honor him as your man in front of the kids. Never, never, never let your kids hear you tear him down. And honor him in front of everyone. That's why it's so important for you to encourage your husband's leadership. You give him confidence when times are tough. Build up his self-esteem. Affirm your love for him by when he does something right, brag on him. I told y'all before, I am the least handy man out there. It's unreal. It's unbelievable. And the other day, Pastor Travis has come over to help me, and some others have come over to help me put together this shelf. And Lenora, the other day, here's what she said. Listen, watch this. She said, do you think maybe just possibly you could put up half of that shelf? And watch, no more. Half of it. So she, first of all, she didn't expect too much. She didn't expect me to do the whole thing. Just half of it. So I want you to know something. And it's dinged up and it's bent, but that sucker got put together. And when she came down, she went, I'm so proud of you. And I'm not going to lie to you. I could have strut sitting down, son. I was pretty fired up now. She honored me. She bragged on me. Listen to this. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 12:4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Honor him, man. You know why? Because Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I call Lenora that all the time. She's my good thing. Lastly, listen, honor him as a man, the man, your man. Listen, honor him as God's man. Honor him as God's man. Be careful with who you compare him to. If it's a preacher or another godly person that you know, honor him as God's man. Encourage him. Hey, he's God's man of the family. He's God's man of the home. Ladies, here's how I'm going to end this. Your husband, he's the pastor of your home. And he will give an account before God of how he pastors his home. Don't you want to encourage and enable him to stand before God and hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Wouldn't you hate to think, I tell you what, until he acts this way or until he does this, I will not, until, and then you stand before Jesus and hear, you didn't do what I called you to do. I called you to do exactly what I said, submit unto your husband as is fitting to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning having lived a week that I sinned more that should have condemned me to hell, but I woke up this morning and his mercies were new. No matter how much I sinned, his grace was always more. No matter how unfaithful I was, he remained faithful. So I'm thankful he didn't say, I tell you what, Chad, I'm only going to let you wake up and experience my mercy, and experience my grace, and experience my faithfulness by what you do. No, in spite of what I did, my God was faithful, was merciful, was graceful. Ladies, we can learn a lot from Jesus. Amen? Let's pray.